I've been collecting acorns for the past 2 hours. You can hear the acorns dropping from the trees right now. And I want to collect all the acorns I can to put out there. They have oaks and their own acorns, but because there's so many of them that they need extra, they eat up what they have.
Phoebe, for several years now, you have been the mama bear taking care of the cubs on your own while Ben has been doing other things, research, taking care of the adults, until this past year when there was just an onslaught of cubs, 20. Why is this year so different? Why are there so many cubs this year?
This year, I can't even carry all the food in Malone. So this is different than years when we only had 4 cubs. Then I could do it by myself, and Ben did other things. But there are a number of factors. One factor is that last year was a great beach year, and the sow bears were able to put on a lot of fat, and they had more cubs. So it's a big cub year. So we have 3 sets of triplets. But also people, it's become quite a fad to have backyard chickens. And then they shoot all the wildlife that comes near the chicken coop. And about half of these cubs came because their mothers were shot in chicken coops. And the people didn't look to see that there were cubs in the tree. And then afterwards they're sorry because they see the cubs, but it's too late.
The fact that this has happened several times, is it helping to educate people about the bear cub problem?
It'd help if people just use electric fences. There are a lot of things that go into chicken coops, I mean, raccoons and weasels, so it's not unique to have to protect a chicken coop.
Is there resistance to doing what's necessary to protect the chickens?
I don't know. I think as people start to have a problem with bears and they talk to the wildlife people, they'll be told about electric fencing, but I think these are people that didn't think about it, just wanted to shoot the bear in the chicken coop. And it's not even a farm, you know, it's just a few chickens. But the cost of raising these cubs is way, way above the value of the chickens.
Phoebe, 20 cubs is so unusual. Is it likely to ever happen again? Is this just a fluke?
I think it's a fluke. Big beach years are rare. I hope it won't ever happen again. But we also have some cubs from other states. We have cubs from Vermont and we have some from Massachusetts. But most of them are New Hampshire cubs.
A big beach year is a phenomenal sounding thing, especially when we think about beach disease.
There's a disease that disfigures the beach, but it still produces for some time, I believe. But I'm not sure how often a good beach year comes, but it doesn't seem to be very common. But the bears cycle with the beach.
What about other sources of food for the bears when it's perhaps not a good beach year? What have you found to be?
Well, I love hearing these acorns drop. Acorns are wonderful. If we have, it's not the best acorn year, but it's good enough that the bears in this area are all eating acorns. And acorns may not taste as good as beech nuts, but they're good food and they're good for fattening the bear. There's so many foods for bears that are, you know, every year is different.
Right, which means that if you're a mama bear, you have a difficult task to teach them what they can eat.
Well, I actually wouldn't use the term mama bear for these rehab cubs because a lot of them, they've already been out of the den with their mother and they know their mother. I'm just more of a caregiver and sympathetic to them, but they know their bears and they know what bear food is. I don't have to teach them anything. We're fortunate we have an 8-acre enclosure which has a lot of different vegetation in it that they can, and it has oak trees. And we minimize our own time with them. And it's more important that the cubs be with other cubs. They are all best friends, and they really enjoy each other's company. And if one comes in first alone, it'll cry, it'll moan and fuss until the others come. They don't like to be alone. They want to be with their friends. Because they're orphans, their friendship with each other is the most important thing for them.
Do they act like typical kids? They wrestle?
They wrestle and wrestle and wrestle. In pairs, when you're out with them, you see a pair here wrestling, a pair here wrestling, another pair wrestling.
Do they form rivalries or do they pick on each other? Have you noticed behavior you don't particularly admire?
No. They're very sympathetic to each other because one would be crying and alone and one of the others will run back and get it. And when one comes into the food first, you think that one could try to eat all the food itself, but that won't. It'll cry and wait for its friends to come in. So they're very much a group.
Isn't this really what Ben's research has been showing? That
they're social, yes.
They're not just solitary, me first, to heck with you.
No.
But they're also individual. Do any of them have individual characteristics that have struck you?
Yes, they're all different. Some talk a lot more than the others. Some, like Slothy, she can cry all the time. She'll be up in a tree, she'll talk all the way down, and she'll cry, and you think she's terrible cry, and she'll just be by herself, and you rush back, and the other cubs rush back to her, and she's just fine. But I had another one, a male that I call the Screamer, because he's wild. His mother was shot in a chicken coop, so he came as part of triplets. He would come in for the milk and the milk replacer and eat. He'd take food from me and eat. But if I'm walking along and our paths crossed, he was still a wild bear. He'd scream. He's the only one I've ever known to scream. So they're all different. The big girl, she talks all the time too, kind of, but just the conversational talking.
Who's the big girl?
The big girl was one of the early ones that came in March. Someone had disturbed the den. The mother had abandoned the den. They're all very nice cubs, but they do have different personalities.
What about for you? I'm wondering what it's like for you to work in this way with these cubs, day in and day out, doing this kind of care, because it's very unusual. And was that a gunshot? A second? And that was acorns falling? Pretty dramatic around here. So any thoughts about how this suits you? This kind of work?
I don't know, because I've done it for so many years, I don't really think about it.
Well, obviously, it's satisfying enough you haven't quit.
Not yet. But as I said, it's much easier now that these cubs are weaned. And then when they hibernate, then things are easier for a while, too.
Quite. What do you get to do when they're asleep?
Well, it's winter. Usually they wake up just about sugaring time. I would like to do more painting, but I have to have more time to do that. But I don't think the bears take that much time now. The dogs seem to take as much time. I spend as much time walking dogs as I do. And collecting food, the collecting acorns and things, and getting apples. And Debbie helps out in buying food, too.
These are solitary pursuits you're describing. Painting, walking the dogs, collecting acorns. Suits you.
Yeah, it does.
And you live alone, if I remember correctly.
Yes. But I also do computer work for the project. I got up at 5 this morning and downloaded the data on 6 of the collar bears and made maps on Google Earth and emailed them out to the people concerned with his research and Ben. It's fun because every time I want to see, I wonder where the bear is. I wonder what the bear's doing. And what I saw this morning was that they're eating acorns. They're in the oaks.
Who are you tracking at the moment?
Well, Squirty has a collar. Her daughter SQ2 has a collar. SN2 is not related. And Tyler, their bear is from beyond Lambert, that they also come to Lambert for acorns. And we have a bear way down this road, way down towards Canaan, and we have a bear that's up over here eating acorns. They're all females. And because of the beach here, it's SQ2 has 3 cubs, and Squirty has 3 cubs. Cora's got 2 cubs. Townie doesn't have cubs. She'll have cubs next year. SN2 has 2 cubs.
What do you think about your brother Ben's theory that he's discovered by observation over time that these bears are in some ways acting as human precursors, interacting in social ways that might serve as models to the way we might have acted when we were almost human, sort of the beginnings of social interaction, pre-verbal social interaction?
Well, most of the things Ben has discussed about bears I've also seen, so I tend to be in agreement with him, because over the years we've seen the same behavior in cubs, and I can verify that I can say I see those things happening that he talks about.
Do you ever see conflict over food among the adults?
Well, I can't say that I've seen conflict over food.
And when you see the cubs in conflict, what kind of conflict would that be?
Well, mostly it's play that they do. I think it would be conflict if one had something and the other one wanted it, but it's always play.
How can you tell when it's roughhousing in human vernacular and when it's actually for real?
When they play, they're quiet. They play quiet. They don't make any vocalizations. But if they're upset, they make noise. You hear about it. They make a loud noise.
Sort of, that hurt, or I'm angry kind
yeah.
of noise?
Or that's mine.
That's mine.
But it's all a variation of moans. But an unhappy bear is not quiet. A happy bear is quiet. So when they're playing, they don't make any noise. I noticed that also, though, when I raised raccoons one year. I raised 18 raccoons. And they'd be in their individual boxes by litter. And you'd think they're all sleeping, and you look in the side, and they'd be wrestling and doing all this stuff, but they don't make a sound. In their case, probably security, so people don't find their den. But when they're happily playing, there's no sound. But if somebody does somebody wrong, there's going to be a scream about it. You know, there's going to be noise.
Isn't that why people are always saying to children, be seen but not heard?
I don't know. Or is that just because adults don't want to hear them?
Exactly. Noise constitutes problem. They have to deal with it then. What is important to you about this work with the bears?
I guess the important thing to me is when you see these sad orphans is just to see them get a twinkle in their eye and start to play. When they come in so sad and so thin. And it's really tragic to lose a mother. That's really, really hard. And when you look at the first pictures of them when they come in, they look sad. But after a little while, they start to play and be much more. This group seems very relaxed together, amazingly relaxed, but it takes a little time.
How much time, generally?
Well, for the little ones, not long, just a few days or a week or so to start just playing with each other. But to have a cub alone is really hard, but to have all these others to play with makes a big difference.
What are they not getting? And this is by no means a criticism, I'm sure.
Well, a mother bear is very hard to replace. I mean, when you see Squirty and her cubs or any mother bear and the cubs, the mother's there 24/7. And she's big. And you can walk under her stomach and you can hide on her and you can lean on her. It's much better to have a mother. It's much better not to shoot mother bears. The others were unavoidably orphaned, ones with a car, mother killed by a car. Or things like that you can't do anything about. But a mother is just, you just can't replace a mother.
Thank you, Phoebe. I really, really appreciate it.